Hello, everyone, and welcome to Cellular Healing TV. I'm your host, Meredith Dykstra, and this is episode number 207. We have our resident cellular healing specialist, Dr. Dan Pompa, on the line, and today we welcome not one, but two special guests, Dr. Silla and Dr. Sochil, and we are going to be delving into the world of homeoprophylaxis, which is a big word. And if you haven't heard about this, you're going to learn all about it in today's show. It's an interesting solution and alternative to vaccines. So we're going to dig in. Before we get started, I'd like to have you keep in mind that this podcast is not intended to diagnose or treat any disease or health condition and is not a substitute for professional medical advice. Cellular Healing TV is solely informational in nature, so please consult with your healthcare practitioner before engaging in anything that's suggested on the show. And note that the views and opinions expressed in this podcast are those of the guest experts, and we encourage you to make your own decisions regarding the information shared. And so let me tell you a little bit more about our guest, though. So as your holistic advocate, Dr. Sochil Cortez-Gonzalez empowers families, corporations, entrepreneurs, and leaders to live a holistic and balanced lifestyle. Her 10-plus year background in clinical pharmacy, peer-reviewed publications, and patent in cancer and immunology research enables her to offer a unique perspective bridging Western and functional medicine. Dr. Cortez-Gonzalez has been actively involved in holistic medicine-related research and initiatives to bring more evidence-based awareness to alternative medicine and topics that affect our body homeostasis with nature. Growing up in Mexico and through her worldwide travels, Dr. Cortez-Gonzalez has a great cultural and human awareness that offers a deeper appreciation to health and wellness. One of her personal challenges has been to educate her own westernized family into holistic healthcare. And for Dr. Silla Whatcott is a board-certified classical homeopath with a BA from Arizona State University, a diploma from the four-year professional program at Northwestern Academy of Homeopathy, and a PhD in homeopathy. An instructor at Normandale Community College, she also is the author of There Is a Choice, Homeoprophylaxis, and co-author of The Solution, Homeoprophylaxis. Silla is the executive director of Worldwide Choice, an organization undertaking evidence-based research with homeoprophylaxis, aka HP, maybe we'll call it HP, and training medically licensed providers to administer HP. She offers individualized homeoprophylaxis programs for adults and children and has been a guest lecturer around the world and was featured in episode number 7 of The Truth About Vaccines. She's organized and directed international conferences about homeoprophylaxis and with leading researchers around the world. Silla has published many articles and is the recipient of the 2016 Public Service Award from the Weston A. Price Foundation. Silla is the producer and director of Real Immunity, a film about the intelligence of life and how we can overcome fear to access the resources we need to build real immunity. As a mother to children adopted from Russia, Taiwan, and China, and one biological child, her deepest desire is to see families everywhere heal and thrive. So, wow, amazing, amazing resumes, both of you. Welcome, Dr. Silla and Dr. Sochil, to Cellular Healing TV. We're so excited to discuss real immunity and homeoprophylaxis today.
Thank you, Meredith. It's great to be here. Appreciate the invitation. So I think we should start with the definition of HP. It's basically a subset of homeopathy, and it's the use of diluted and potentized disease products that are given in an oral fashion in order to download information to the system and familiarize the immune system with a disease before it meets it in public, in nature.
Yeah, no, that's exactly. I was thinking the same thing. Let's define this because, well, look, first of all, you know, this is a show that it brings me great passion, you know, because obviously I had a child that was on the autism spectrum, damaged from vaccines. And, you know, my message is always, look, educate yourself on this topic. You know, I believe when people educate themselves on the topic of vaccines, you know, they come out on the other side going, holy cow, I had no idea. So, however, with all that said, I believe the next thought in their mind is they still feel like they want to do something to protect their child. I think it's a mother's instinct and intuition, you know, a guilt of, okay, I didn't do this, but I feel like I have to do something, God forbid. So that has always been asked to me. So, you know, when I heard of this topic, I thought, my gosh, this is perfect because, you know, this is not only something that makes the mother feel better, but according to your work, the research here, it actually works better. It actually gives you real immunity, which maybe that's the place we start. We have a whole show on vaccines, you know, but obviously you've done your homework with vaccines. And why is this better? Why is this building real immunity versus what we would say about vaccines?
All right, that's a great question. So a couple of major differences, and both are trying to acquaint the body with the disease prior to encountering it. And that's where the similarities end. With homeoprophylaxis, it's a pure form of the disease because it's energetic. There are no molecules of the original disease. There are no adjuvants. There's no preservatives. There's no excipients. There's nothing of any kind other than the frequency of the original disease. So it's like downloading a frequency. And we know that everything is energy. Everything vibrates at a certain frequency. And if we become familiar with the frequency of that disease prior to encountering it, then we know how to mount an appropriate immune response and either repel the disease or mitigate the disease if we do contract the disease.
So basically the frequency of the disease, let's just say, you know, whether it's, you know, whooping cough or, you know, what one of the other childhood diseases, it gives the body the frequency and then the body then the knowing, right, if you will, to deal with the actual virus in case it in fact is exposed. Is that in simple terms?
That's absolutely correct. We call it educating the immune system. We're just giving it an education.
So if I can...
Go ahead. Yeah, I'll say one thing, Shoshio, and then I'll let you talk. Yeah, you know, you said something that just we kind of glossed over, and that this doesn't contain all the adjuncts, all the ingredients that are one part of why vaccines have a lot of problems, right? Whether it's the mercury, the aluminum, the retroviruses, I mean, we can go on and on with a long list of ingredients that are potentially harmful to the body in the immune system. This has none of that.
That's correct. And also the route of introduction. How do we get disease in nature? It comes through mucous membrane, right? So HP is delivered through mucous membrane, not injected into the bloodstream.
So
I just want to bring my two tokens of something that, so as an immunologist and as an ever always learning scientist, this is a form of, or this is homeopathy. So if someone can actually, or would like to know exactly how homeopathy works, they can just Google or try to find out the definition of homeopathy. And homeopathy is nothing but something dissolved and so many dilutions. And when we say potent shot, or it's potent, it's because we do the succussion, which is like a vigorous shaking. Stella, do you want to say something?
Well, you're breaking up the water bonds, and then there's some information that's being contained in those water molecules, and that's delivering the frequency.
Mm-hmm. Correct. And you guys can, or your audience can actually look into how the water can contain messages or energy. But deeper than that, as an immunologist, I could see, and this is, of course, isn't a speculation, but because we haven't looked into the mechanism of action and how exactly every single disease has, or how we encounter and our immune system respond to naturally to a disease. And what I'm going with this is that we know about TH1, TH2, TH3 type of response. We know about, you know, the humoral and the innate immune system. But I feel, and this is something I share deeply with Scylla, that energetically, when we trigger the immune system with homeopathic, in this case with HB, we may be even triggering a completely different pathway that has to do with the energetic type of immune system pathways that are not being uncovered or have not been studied yet. And they probably are deeper as far as functioning as the actual molecule.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you both actually brought up one of the problems that I have with vaccines. Of course, I believe there's many, many neurotoxins in them. However, going beyond that, vaccines, stimulate the wrong immune system, meaning that if we get a disease naturally through the mucous membranes, we stimulate a type 1 reaction where a Th1 reaction where we have lifetime immunity. But the vaccine is stimulating a Th2 reaction, which is more of an emergency reaction that I believe leads to cancer and other autoimmune. And that's my opinion. That's my research on this. So what you're saying, though, you're saying, okay, number one, the HP doesn't do that. It's more of a natural. And so I heard you say that. And then Sochi, I hear you saying that it may even go beyond that, to where it's activating an immune response that we haven't even figured out yet, even a better real immune response.
Yes, that's exactly it.
All right. So then, Scylla, when we're doing this, are we raising antibodies? Okay, meaning that when we get a vaccine, trying to differentiate between, like you said, you're calling this real immunity. A vaccine, I would say, gives temporary immunity, meaning that we can give an injection, we can measure antibodies for months, maybe years afterwards. And by the way, that's why we need boosters, because it's not lifetime immunity. The antibodies eventually go down. With this, we're not able to actually look at and we're not able to measure antibody reaction. So how do we know if we've bolstered the immune system with the HP?
Well, we basically know by looking at long-term health outcomes. So the major long-term study was done by Dr. Isaac Golden in Australia over 15 years, 3,000 children. And he had a vaccinated group, an unvaccinated group, and an HP group. And he found that the HP group had better long-term health outcomes than the unvaccinated group, which surprised him. But all he could conclude was that they were circulating these natural diseases, deriving all the benefits with none of the risks. They had fewer ear infections, allergies, atopic illnesses, eczema. So that was a definite indicator that long-term health was better. Also, there was a study done in Cuba by Gustavo Bracho with rats, where they injected the rats with leptospirosis. The HP, all the non-HP rats died. The rats receiving HP, 80% of them lived, did not contract leptospirosis, yet they had no antibody production. So there's proof positive that we can see long-term health without an inflammatory response of just making antibodies.
Which I argue, and many scientists argue, that the fact that there are antibodies is problematic. So you're saying that there definitely aren't antibodies. However, the immunity is superior according to those two studies that you just mentioned.
Right. And also just historically, we see superior effectiveness. And there are some parents, I have hundreds of children in the program, and some parents do test, some do see some antibodies and some don't. So we don't really have a definitive answer with that, nor do we hang our hat on the antibody function. And even immunologists are in disagreement about antibodies. Some feel that immunity is based on antibodies, and others feel that it is not. So
yes, I want to put my two tokens about that. So having antibody production against a pathogen or some kind of vaccine does not mean necessarily that you actually have a protection. I mean, just to begin with, you may establish an antibody response, but it doesn't mean it's a long-lasting. They're still figuring out how exactly we have a long-lasting protection from any disease. But regardless of how we want to do artificially vaccinate someone, there's nothing like being exposed to the wild pathogen or the bacteria or whichever the organism is causing the disease. And this fight, and I may sound a little extremist, this fight against microorganisms and all the bad guys, I mean, let's think about it. They were here before us on this planet, and there are a lot more trillions and billions than the cells that contain in one single body of us. So if they really wanted to get rid of us, we wouldn't exist to begin with. So I think the natural way of getting a disease is one of the best protective ways. However, we get into political dilemma as far as, is this the real answer for masses? And it questions why we need to do vaccines the way that is being done now. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, listen, if that's the extreme view, that's my view as well, because I believe that, you know, our kids get better. Their immune systems get better when they get chickenpox vaccine, you know, whatever it is, right? You know, any of the childhood diseases, I believe that it does make a better immune system that actually prevents cancer, autoimmune, and other diseases later in life. I mean, that's why I was trying to get my kids measles, mumps, you know, rubella exposure.
Absolutely.
So with that, it was one of my questions, actually. So if they get this, then they'll actually still get exposure to the disease. The immune system will go through its normal reaction, express symptoms. Do they get exposed? Because look, I had exposure to measles and mumps, expressed the symptoms as a kid, although my immune system went through the process and got better because of it.
Right.
That kind of give me an understanding there.
That's correct. It is similar. And your experience tells us that you did not have a strong susceptibility to those particular diseases, because it's all based on our susceptibility. So when individuals take HP, we can see immune activation in the form of flushed cheeks, more stool, maybe even a slight fever or runny nose, very mild, very benign. But it's just an indicator that the immune system is waking up. And
yeah.
So we do see that, and it's a positive thing. And when parents don't see it and they question it, I just say, your child didn't have a susceptibility to that particular disease.
Yeah. I mean, so you get the best of both worlds with this non-toxic.
Right. And the application for third world countries is amazing, because it requires no cold chain. It's very inexpensive, rapid production. It's not gender specific. It's not species specific. You can put it in the water of animals. And it's also, it applies to mutated viruses. So now we see all these outbreaks of pertussis in fully vaccinated populations.
Yeah.
Bacteria mutates. It's going to find a way. It's a life form. Whereas with HP, it addresses all those mutations. So it's really superior in that regard.
Yeah, matter of fact, I was going to ask that. I mean, are you able to do this and see the outcomes in third world countries? How much has this been used there?
Oh, extensively. That's where most of our observations have been over the last 200 years. In India, it's sanctioned as a legal and viable alternative to vaccines, so people can choose. All the state-hired physicians use homeoprophylaxis. It's very well utilized. They Japanese encephalitis, over 10 million children, they reduce the incidence. Mm-hmm. In India, chikungunya, cholera. Cuba, leptospirosis, 2007, 2008, they reduced the incidence to zero with leptospirosis for 2.3 million people, very well documented. Meningitis in Brazil, in influenza. I mean, it's extensive. It's only in the U.S. where information is not distributed.
Well, I guess that's my next question. I mean, we can't argue it's better. You know, it gives real immunity. And yet what in the United States, is it just that, I mean, this is big pharma. I mean, a vaccine is the cash cow,
right?
You know, there's no worry about being sued. You do not have to prove. Matter of fact, if a drug company does do a study on safety, it actually makes them more liable for being sued. So therefore, if they don't do safety studies, have greater protection of not being sued. So there's no reason to do safety studies. You know, it takes hundreds of millions of dollars to bring a drug to market, and yet a fraction, you know, for vaccines. So is that why we're not seeing this in the US? Is that why we're not hearing about it? And is there any states that are looking at this?
Yeah, Dr. Pompa, that's one of the reasons. Another reason is fear. You know, fear is the driver of ignorance. And there have been newspaper articles about certain individuals from the CDC even saying that the fear of meningitis will be the driver for the vaccine.
Absolutely.
And then the fear amongst colleagues. I mean, look at those who have spoken out and what happens to their careers, to their reputation.
Right.
So people are in a position where they don't want to speak up, but more and more and more parents who are gaining an education are quietly exhibiting, they're voting with their feet, let's say that. Civil disobedience, which is the way change can happen.
Right. Okay. So I know that my viewers and listeners are saying, okay, where can I get this stuff? Because you said, hey, adults for this as well as children. So right. That number one, we're going to share where they can get it. Number two, is it legal? I mean, are states coming after this? Are they trying to block it? So tell us about that.
Well, we know that, many states have a philosophical exemption. So they have the right to choose whatever they want, nothing or something that they want. Only three states only have a medical exemption, California, Mississippi, and West Virginia. The rest all have religious exemptions. So there's ways around the law if you don't run into, someone at the front desk who's trying to impede your free agency to make a choice. Basically, people take the law into their own hands. But so it is legal in many states just by virtue of being able to do whatever you choose. It's in terms of where do you get it. There are websites selling homeoprophylaxis. I personally feel very, very strongly about educating. So I don't sell a widget. I don't sell a product on my site. I have people contact me. I have a program, and the program includes education. It includes a kit. It includes support in the program so that I'm educating, and I don't want people to feel like you're just replacing a vaccine with a pellet. That's not my goal. I want to really have people understand the immune system and reduce the fear surrounding disease.
Good for you. So how do they access your teaching?
They can go to worldwidechoice.org, and through that site, they can simply contact me, and then I send them all the information about the program and work with them one-on-one.
So, I know you don't sell product, but will you, some of the top websites to get them? I mean, do you point them in the right direction to be able to get the...
No, I sell the program with a kit, and I have my kits made by a reputable pharmacy where, I feel like I have a little more control than just whatever's out there. Some people will just sell the nosodes, sell the remedies with no instructions, no information, just saying this is for pertussis or this is for this or that. That's what I feel is not helpful, because you're not teaching anybody anything. You're just replacing something. So right. No, I do sell the whole program. So
yeah.
People can come to Worldwide Choice for all of it.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Yeah, so that's great. So there you go, folks. I know that that's an interest, obviously, for all of you. Okay, let me ask that question next. Okay, so parents are going to say, well, vaccinated my child. Is there something a homeopathic I can give to help that? Are these useful after the fact? Who should utilize these and when? There's a lot of questions there.
Right. So a lot of parents are pregnant or have a newborn and they're interested because they're completely convinced they don't want to vaccinate. That's one segment of the population. Other parents who have changed lanes, they vaccinated their child, they regret it. They see the difference in children in their family who are less and less vaccinated. It's perfectly possible to jump into HP after being vaccinated, because we know vaccines don't necessarily confer immunity, and they can dysregulate the immune system. So it's fine to jump into an HP program after someone's been vaccinated. The other application is in travel. Many doctors will say you have to have vaccines to go to a foreign country. That's completely erroneous.
Totally erroneous.
Yeah, you don't need to have only yellow fever if you're going to a place where it's indigenous. So people come to me for tropical diseases. Very, very popular application, very easy to do. We meet face-to-face on Skype or FaceTime. I give them the directions. I also give them tons of information about the actual diseases, extra remedies they can bring, tons of support surrounding their trip. And we just call it travel prophylaxis. So
yeah, that's a great thing. And then what about flu shots? I don't fear the flu, obviously, but many do.
Yeah, and this is my favorite topic, because there was a double-blind placebo-controlled study with influenzinum done in Brazil in the 1970s and repeated in the 1990s. Very, very successful. They're virtually from influenzinum, which we make from a variety of historic flu strains. Very, very effective, completely safe. I have lots of doctors, nurses, hospital workers who call me to obtain it because they don't want a flu vaccine, and then they get a colleague to sign off for them. It's highly effective and easy. One little vial of it for $25 will last a family of six for a couple of years. So, yeah.
That's the thing. These homeopathics are so cheap too, so right? Cheap.
Yeah.
It's like
And that's the other reason pharma doesn't want this out. And you've seen their recent attempts to discredit homeopathy. For years, they said it's nothing, it's hocus pocus, there's nothing in it, it's placebo. Now they're saying we've got to control these remedies because they're killing children, and they're jumping on the other side, and it's ludicrous. Parents can see the you know, ridiculous position that's being taken, but still we feel at risk that they're going to try to clamp down on the sale of all homeopathic remedies.
So can a family just get like one whole box? I mean, that really just makes up all of the supplements, if you will.
Yeah, sure. They can get kits. Absolutely. I sell a kit with eight diseases. The program that I sell covers eight common childhood diseases: pertussis, pneumonia, Haemophilus B, polio, tetanus, meningitis, measles, and mumps. Mm-hmm. And then they can add in any diseases they want, tropical diseases or, you know, and I try to educate parents because they'll say things like, well, what about hepatitis B? I'll explain there's no need for hepatitis B unless you're doing this, this, or this. So,
yeah, it's another big lie. What about Gardasil? Oh, I mean, it's another huge lie. I mean, to me, there's no need anyway, but go ahead and address it.
Yeah, there's no need. I took a class from Diane Harper, who was one of the HPV experts who helped to develop the vaccine. She said it was a giant public health experiment. She did not condone it being fast-tracked to market. It's devastating. And we all have, I mean, all sexually active individuals carry human papillomavirus, and they naturally clear it with a healthy immune system. I'm not in favor of messing things that nature put into place.
Well, look, I've witnessed many young girls get severely neurologically damaged after the vaccines, and they are still, you know, not right. You know, so it is you're playing Russian roulette there. I'll tell you, that's
absolutely
a big one.
Yep.
Infuriated very quickly there. Yeah, so, you know, Meredith, I know you have some questions too, and this is a topic that, you know, I get goosebumps up and down because, you know, it just angers me that we have such an effective solution. We're not hearing about it, right? And I'm almost embarrassed myself that this is the first time I've had you on this show. So I apologize, and I apologize to my viewers. You know, shame on me for not digging deeper because, you know, I mean, I didn't realize the effectiveness, you know, of these. And really, you know, I met Sochi at one of the seminars, and, you know, I was like, I have to have the show. So thank you both for being here. But anyways, go ahead, Meredith. I know you have some questions. I just felt that guilt run through me.
I'm just kind of curious from the nitty gritty perspective too, of how it actually works with the implementation. So, I have a baby and I want to use HP. How does it work? Like, is there a certain schedule? How is it taken? What are the sources of, you know, some of these viruses to stimulate the immune system? Just kind of the specifics.
Yeah. Good questions. Everyone asks these. So you basically, would contact Worldwide Choice. We set up an appointment. I send you a kit. I send you a booklet for record keeping. In the kit are 16 little vials with the pellets. Pellets are given by mouth on a monthly schedule, and I tell you how you're going to do that. The schedule itself is very flexible. The order of the diseases, that's very flexible, but there's a certain order that's better for children at certain ages. So we go over that. We individualize the program to you and your children. so that it's very individualized. And then I'm there for support. You have questions, something comes up, you just reach out. That's basically how the program's put into place. The diseases themselves are sourced from mostly from children's hospitals, from the sputum or the saliva of people with these diseases. But again, as Socho described, they're diluted to the extent beyond Avogadro's number. No molecules of that original substance. It's just the energy.
Mm-hmm. And how many different diseases are addressed?
Well, in the kit, that the program that I use, there are eight. They're the kind of top eight ones that parents are concerned about. But we have nosodes for any disease, all diseases, tropical diseases, all diseases. It's just a matter of educating yourself about whether you really need to take something for that disease. Like we discussed Hep B or HPV, or let's say you're going to a country where you're afraid of hepatitis A. We talk about your risk. It's all about susceptibility and exposure. So are you an adventurous eater? Are you going to be eating off street carts? Are you going to be in a four-star hotel? All of these things make a difference. So we individualize what you need instead of just having a knee-jerk, one-size-fits-all, take-everything approach.
And right, I just want to put my two token. Scylla is very good at customizing with each family need and concern. So there may be a mother that is just so apprehensive that she, even if she understands that, you know, hepatitis A or, you know, maybe hepatitis B, Scylla will work with them to actually not only make them clear on their education and why they would choose to do something, but she will accommodate. Is that right, Scylla?
That's correct, Soshi. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, for most, so for most babies, they would be okay with just kind of those eight basic HPs. And then for adults, perhaps if they were traveling, they would have something more specific, but there's always customization in general, but most would just go with those eight vials.
Exactly. Most are happy with that. Now, if you're going to be leaving the country, you know, going to another country, then we might add something in. Also, the latest thing is the CDC method of cocooning. Have you heard of this? Cocooning is where the OBGYN tells the new young mother, you can't let anyone touch your baby unless they've had shingles vaccine, pneumonia vaccine, flu vaccine, all of these vaccines. And these poor young moms are controlled. So I work with a lot of grandparents who come to me and I say, okay, we'll give you HP for those things. And you can tell your daughter-in-law that you're protected. So, yeah. I mean, there's different ways to skin a cat.
You know, I believe this whole vaccine, trying to basically make every human take a vaccine forcibly, hinges on herd immunity, meaning that the Constitution protects us unless we can convince people, you know, in the government that, you know, we are a threat if we're not vaccinated to others. Right now it becomes, oh, well, now we can make everyone get vaccinated because that, you know, takes your own freedoms away for the protection of the people in the Constitution. So if we can convince that herd immunity, you know, is real, then that's a threat to our freedom of choice,
right,
as far as vaccinating goes. Speak a little bit about that and even how this may actually even counteract that.
Well,
Yeah, go ahead. No, I was going to remind you, Scylla, that you guys have a very good study that was actually done in India and how it actually clear after, you know, the next year that you guys didn't even use HP, they were still protected. Can you go?
Right. Yeah, that was the Cuba study. So the Cuba study for leptospirosis, they had multiple hurricanes come through in 2007. And they typically vaccinate the entire population annually against lepto. It's a tropical disease, spirochete, high mortality rate, up to 40%. So they had multiple hurricanes. They could not produce and distribute the vaccine adequately and decided to use homeoprophylaxis in one.
The regular vaccine. So they couldn't distribute the regular vaccine.
Yeah, I got that.
Correct. So they used HP for 2.3 million people in one area. And what they found is that the incidence dropped as it went up in other regions, the non-HP regions. And
right,
the following year, it dropped even more. and started to extend outside of that region, almost like a morphogenetic effect. So very interesting. It seems to me like it's even more possible to have an energetic type of herd immunity than what we're being spoon-fed and told is herd immunity. But I mean, herd immunity is about natural disease. So what's HP? It's natural disease. It's, you know, vaccines are not natural disease. It robs women of extending their immunity to their offspring because they can no longer confer immunity for measles, mumps, chickenpox to their children through nursing. So that's part of the mechanism of herd immunity, really having natural disease that enables a population to stay more healthy.
Yeah. So, I mean, with that said, I mean, you know, you have mom, how does this translate to the child? You know, if we're giving the mother these frequencies, can that translate into the child? You know, is there some type of inherited protection?
That's a great question, and we don't know the answer until we've really observed over a few generations. I would suspect that immunity will extend, but we don't know because we don't have something to measure. We need a mechanism of action and something measurable, which will we find it? I don't know. I've worked with a lot of doctors, a lot of people, so she can attest to this. We're not finding that exact mechanism of action to nail it.
Correct. But it is inherited. I mean, there's other homeopathy type of work that is based on miasms, and it's a big word, but it's something that is known in for homeopaths. And there is some kind of inheriting energetic diseases, if you will. Mm-hmm. And there is a way to clear them. And if you clear them with homeopathy, which is also a, like, energetic medicine, if you will, you actually are clearing the, you know, passage of these diseases. I'm not going to say that I have attested or actually have. I just seen observational studies in which, you know, homeopathy and the done in the right way. And that's another, I want to stress the, what Scylla is saying about, she's very into education for the same reason that homeopathy, not well done, doesn't work. And that's why if you go to this Whole Foods or you try to look for just homeopathy and just try to treat yourself for flu or whatever cold, or it sometimes you actually start saying, oh, homeopathy doesn't work because it didn't do what I'm, you know, what it was supposed to say in the box. And this is not commercial homeopathy. This is a homeopathy that was done in a certain way. And that's why education is so important and how to give it. And this kid still takes the time and invest, you know, all this dedication to actually instruct the mother or the head of the family who's going to take care of this kid to actually tell them how to apply it or how to give it to the kids and, you know, like a schedule and everything else, which I think is very important.
Yeah, no, it sounds important. And so, Sochi, what's your feelings being an immunologist on herd immunity before we leave that topic? Because I really do believe our freedom hinges on this topic.
I'm very biased about all this. I mean, one of the main, I'm going to give you an example with the flu vaccine. If we really have something called like that, and it will be so effective, regardless of the virus mutating. And I'm just saying, because as a scientist and me designing vaccines, I know that I need to find part of the virus that is not likely to mutate as much to use as an antigen, to use it as a vaccine. So if it was really effective, we should have a better efficacy on all this flu vaccination, just to begin with, as an immunologist, but we're not seeing that. Regardless of mutation or not, I actually feel it's not the right conduct, it's not the right way to do it to begin with. And the herd immunity that people keep calling, I feel it's more like a, you know, when you say, oh, I think that people die when you put an oxygen mask or you actually give them oxygen. And there is a correlation with that. Well, if you go into a hospital and the usage of oxygen at the end of life, when people are about to die, it's very high. So where do we keep all this? Is this an observational study, like how they claim that it alternative medicine is so subjective? This is my feelings about it. Like it's not a true evidence, but Scylla, do you have something to say about it?
Well, Soshi, the thing that comes to my mind, and this is my feeling very strongly about this whole flu vaccine business going on, and that is there's a study by Cowling and Fang, 2012, that shows the administration of the flu vaccine increases our susceptibility to other viruses. So it compromises Th1.
Right.
So that's why people are getting so much sicker with the flu vaccine. It's not that they're catching what the flu vaccine is protecting against. They're catching other viruses. It's compromising their system. So we see rampant mutated viruses. This year, I've had patients with really horrific cases of flu. And I think it's due to the flu vaccine. So that's what it's doing to herd immunity.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like, you know, of course, you know, the theory is, okay, if you're non-vaccinated, you're a threat, right? And argument for even the cocoon thing that they're saying, you know, don't let your child be around someone who's not vaccinated. I think it's a bunch of garbage. There's no science ever that I could see that it holds up. Right. However, because companies will use this as their pivotal argument to lose our freedom to not vaccinate, I think that's why we're seeing such junk science around it.
Right.
So, you know, with this topic, you know, is there any shred of a chance that we could get, you know, government states behind this, especially considering it's working so well in other countries? Or is Big Pharma just too big and strong here?
Well, I think pharma's pretty darn strong and has very deep pockets. And I think that, you know, my passion, my goal is to educate people to the extent that it's a grassroots movement that starts to change things. It's parents wanting it. It's physicians who are learning and becoming open-minded and wanting it. It's the chiropractic community who already gets it. You know,
yeah.
I mean, it's just a matter of pressure from the bottom up. That's how political change will happen. I'm not a political activist. I'm an educator. So, and I'm an activator. I mean, I've held conferences, I'm doing this film, I've written books. I just want to educate people, and I believe it'll move forward from there. So I believe things are changing. A lot of people would disagree with me, but.
Well, you know, I tell you, I would love to have you at my seminar. You know, we have 300 plus doctors that believe the way we believe, but they need to know this, right? So Meredith, you know, we got to get Scylla at one of our events. So we have two coming up. The one was full, but we may have a slot depending on someone may have to cancel. But so we need you. We need docs to know this information.
Thank you.
Well,
I just want to mention that there's a summit, the ICPA, the International Chiropractic Pediatric Association. They are associate producers on the film that I'm doing. Jeannie Ohm is in the film, and I'm going to be speaking at their conference the first weekend in March. So that's on the East Coast.
Yeah, and I wanted to tell a little bit about, because when this is released, so will your documentary, Real Immunity. Tell a little bit about that, because that's going to be just a wealth of knowledge for people.
Yes, it'll be released in the next month. We're racing to get through post-production. It'll first be released free of charge for a viewing for about 48 hours. So you need to go to realimmunity.org and sign up for the free viewing, and then you'll be on that list. It's a full-length feature documentary. It's a 90-minute documentary. It's in two episodes. So the first episode addresses fear and how to overcome fear and how to look at fevers and viruses and childhood illnesses in the right way. How to find a good practitioner, what we're all looking for. And then episode two talks about some of the resources, chiropractic, functional medicine, homeopathy, and homeoprophylaxis is highlighted in the second episode with interviews with some of the Indian doctors, some of the researchers, some of the parents using it. So that's really a deeper dive into homeoprophylaxis, but it's important to me not to polarize, for one, but simply to open the door to expanded thinking and to dispel fear and to support parents and empower them in their knowledge that life is intelligent and they are the experts for their children. And here are your resources. I'm not only, you know, saying homeoprophylaxis is the only resource. There's lots of resources. You can build your toolkit and you can trust your instincts. So that's the goal of the film.
I love that education because, you know, parents will call me, my child has a fever. What do I do? I'm like, nothing. Perfect.
Right.
You know, my child is sick. Great. That's how you build immunity, right? But we're taught that we have to give our child something, right? You know, what Tylenol, this, that, a cough suppressant. Your child's coughing. Great. It's doing what it should do.
Right.
You know, it's like we have I've raised my kids with that opposite philosophy that the world has. And it's, we have healthy kids.
Yeah, and that's what we see in parents who are opting for HP or not vaccinating. And I just want to see them become the majority. So,
see, like, can you, just before we go off the tangent on the HP, can you go still a little bit over how, like, the efficacy of homeoprophylaxis compared to a regular vaccine as far as, like, can you still get the disease? Can you explain a little bit about it? And if someone has the HP or has been protected with HP, how his body will respond to that disease if they will to get it?
Right. Thanks, Oshie. So we see about a 90% effectiveness across the board with tropical diseases, with childhood diseases. Many of the things in the childhood kit, we don't encounter, like tetanus, so we can't really say, but we see about 90% in those communicable diseases. And there's always a risk of catching a disease. Nothing's 100% effective. So that's the risk we take in life. But a 90% effectiveness, I think, is quite good. That's what Isaac found in his 15-year study with the childhood diseases. Mm-hmm. If you do catch the disease, it's typically much less severe because the body knows how to mount a response.
Right.
Perfect.
And are there any contraindications at all or any warnings for anyone who maybe wouldn't be a good candidate?
We like to see children who are neurotypical to start. I want to see that their immune system is basically working. There's no contraindications. I've worked with kids who are vaccine damaged. I've worked with kids who are on the spectrum. I've worked with kids who have different immune anomalies, basically. So there are no contraindications. Many people use essential oils, and essential oils can be antidoting to homeopathic remedies. So we just do an individual training session to teach you how to balance the two out. You don't want to do them both at the same time. You can still use them, but don't do everything at the same time. And we talk about how to fit that together. But other than that, there's really no contraindications.
Wow, great. Well, listen, we thank you both for being on the show. This is a great show. I think y'all are going to want to share this with your friends and family. It's that type of show that you need to share this show because it's life-changing, life-saving, and do your homework as always. So if this whole topic of not vaccinating is new to you, please do your homework. I'm not telling you to vaccinate or not vaccinate, but do your homework. And obviously there's some alternatives. So thank you, girls. Appreciate you being on.
Thank you for having
us. You're welcome. Pleasure. Mm-hmm.
Thanks, everyone. And if you want to learn more about Scylla's work, go to worldwidechoice.org and check out realimmunity.org for the Real Immunity documentary that'll be launching, sounds like February 2018. So depending on when you're tuning into the show. So thank you, everyone. Amazing information. As always, please share this information with your friends and family. It could change lives. So thanks, everybody. Have a great weekend, and we'll see you next time. Yep. Bye-bye. Mm-hmm.